attention to Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 8. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 8. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. This is the word of God. We shall first, as the Lord is pleased to help, consider redemption. I have redeemed them. And then God speaking, I will hiss for them. Then the gathering of the people of God, lost and ruined sinners, for the blessing of redemption and heaven at last. And then lastly, the increase, growth in grace, usefulness, fruitfulness, love, and knowledge, and more. All born into this world are lost, ruined, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. God is holy. The dear children here will know well these words, I'm sure. Thou, God, seest me. All my sin, even in thought, is known unto God. God speaks to us about heaven, and that no one with sin, the least sin, can ever enter into heaven. I'm speaking simply. We have children here, and I pray God will help me in speaking as simply and yet faithfully to all ages. Well, what about what is yours? And one thing definitely is yours, and one thing is mine, and that's sin. If we die unforgiven, we shall hear that word, depart from me, be cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Some will say, I will live a better life, I will try and do what is good. That in itself is good and right. But no one can live a life without sinning, can we? All that we do is stained with sin, and therefore it's charged against us. We are sinners, we're lost, we're far off from God. So some will say, well, I'll do some good works. That is good in its way, but good works can never wash away our sin. Some will say, if I go to chapel, that will take me to heaven. That is right to go to chapel and to keep going. And I'll say a word to you, dear children and young people, as you grow older, will you leave chapel? Will you want to find somewhere else to go? Or will you go right into the world? May the Lord keep you to the house of prayer to hear the truth, to hear the gospel. Now, it's right to keep coming to chapel, but that won't just sitting in your seat, going to Sunday school, that's very good to do that, but that won't save you. You say, well, what can I do then? I'm lost. There's no hope for me. That as far as we go so far is true. We can do nothing to save ourselves in the sense of washing away our sin. A little girl, age 6, was being bathed by her mother and been playing in sand and so forth. She's dirt, grubby, as we might say. But that little girl said something. She said, Mummy, you can wash away the dirt. You can't wash away my sin. That's true. That's true. Then some might say, well, what about all the blood that was shed on the altars? That could never wash away the sin of the Israelite. It gave them acceptance in the sight of God some ways, but never washed away sin. What are you going to do? Remember, it's yours. You can't get away from it. Sometimes, perhaps you've done something wrong and nobody's found out. But God knows about it. God knows about it. Well, there's a wonderful way, and only one way, there is a way, whereby we may be saved. I expect you've seen sheep. Sometimes when you've travelled and a sheep has got away, got out of the field, perhaps by the roadside, it's lost. Lost. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But there's a good shepherd. And this good shepherd will call his sheep. We'll come to that more in a moment. But in eastern lands, if a sheep went astray and got into the hands of someone else, like a robber or another person, the owner of that sheep, if they wanted that sheep, would have to pay a price to get it back, to redeem that sheep. A ransom price had to be paid. And this is what God has done. God does the saving. God gave his only son, his only begotten son, the greatest gift that God could give, to come to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. He was going to pay that price. What is the price? Are those sheep worthy of such a price? No. But they're loved because they were chosen by God, loved in eternity past. And that price was to be blood. Blood that was sinless, blood by somebody that never sinned. There's no one in the Bible, nobody in the world, to the end of time, born into this world, sinless, spotless. If a person died, that blood would be of no value to wash away sin. So it needed a sinless one to come. Where shall we find this sinless one? In heaven. It is Jesus. But how could Jesus as God come to this world, and how could he die? Because God cannot die. God lives forever. But here's a wonderful thing. Here's a wonderful mystery. That Jesus came, yes, he's God, always was God, is God, will be God. But he took with his deity sinless humanity, a body as thou provided for me. I haven't got that word quite right there. But the Lord provided a body. The angel came to the Virgin Mary and told her she was to have this babe, the Son of God, the Holy One, from heaven. No sin there. Spotless, pure, real. A babe that could weep. And one growing up that knew what it was to be weary and hungry and thirsty and suffer pain. And yet God. Did man love Jesus? Unless the Lord Jesus was revealed to them, they hated him. The crowd cry, away with him. Crucify him. We don't want that man. We want Barabbas. A man that was a wicked man. And they led Jesus away to crucify him. What wrong had he done? What wicked things had he committed? Not one. Not a sin. Not a spot. Not a blemish in thought, word, deed, holy and pure. The Lamb of God. And man says, away with him. And they crucified him. And your children's hymn says, and those hands that did such good, they nailed them to a cross of wood, didn't they? And you remember Jesus suffered on that cross. Man hated him. But there, I know for the children, it's a little difficult for you to understand. But not only did he suffer at the hand of man, and that was at Pilate, the Jewish religious people, so-called, and the Gentiles all hated him, scorned him, unless God had called them and saved them. So, I've just lost my thought. I'll come back to a minute, in a moment. But here is one holy and pure, and suffering in this way. But there was one also, somebody else. You see, there wasn't anybody else. No, there wasn't anybody else on the earth at that time. All that were on the earth that hated him, despised him, rejected him, and said away with him. But who was the somebody else that would punish Jesus? It was God, the Father. And there was a wonderful mystery. Remember when Jesus was crucified, there were 3 hours of darkness. And God, as it were, hid his face from his Son. God had said concerning Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hid his face. He was made to be sin. He was charged. In other words, he was charged. All the sin of his people were charged to Jesus, though he had done them all. They were put on his account. He said, I'll pay the price. I'll suffer the wrath of heaven. I'll endure the cross. That this people may go free. That my blood, Jesus would say, shed on that cross, will wash away their sin, because it's the blood of God, the God-man, the Lamb of God. It's because the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Nothing less than that will take you to heaven. It's Jesus only. There's no one else. Without Jesus, and his blood, we perish. Now you may say, how can I come to this blessing, this redemption, this ransom price has been paid? We read about it in the Epistle of the Romans, where we read, and I take it in this way. First is largely, not entirely, through the preaching of the word. Ministers preach you about Jesus. Your pastor preaches to you about Jesus and his love and his blood, and preaches to us that you're lost, that you're far away from God, that you need a new life, a spiritual life. Ye must be born again. I can't do it. You can't do it. But God can do it. God by his Spirit does it. And this is to be prayed for. This is to be sought for. This is where we should ask God to come. And oh, what a mercy it is. Now look, it's not enough just to say, God, I'm sorry for my sin, and then just go on and on and on. No, I know. With real repentance, we still sin. But what I'm getting at is this. We've got to really be sad for our sin and ask God to have mercy upon us and forgive us and to save us. That's the path. God be merciful to me, a sinner, lost and far off from God. Oh, Lord, do save me. Do help me. Show me myself. Show me that I am a sinner. Make me feel it, Lord. And knowing that I'm lost and feeling I'm lost, carrying this burden of my sin, and I can't throw it off. I can't get rid of it. It's mine. Lord, help me to come to thee, because thou hast said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, heavy burden. Come just as you are. This gospel is free. This love of Christ is for sinners. He died for sinners. And this will make Christ precious to you, just as to him you've been seeing. Those that are led this way, Christ will be so precious, and as you grow older, he comes more and more precious. You don't want anything else, really. When I say you don't want, you need provision, you need God to take care of you, provide for you, health and strength, the comfort of your homes and so forth. But that's not everything. You've got Jesus. Jesus is mine. My sins are forgiven. I'm washed in the blood. Oh, happy soul. Now you say, but how can I know it? Well, now we come to that second word. Says God, I will kiss for them. Now that's a strange word, isn't it? If God hisses against the people, that's God's anger, God's wrath. That's ever so solemn. Think of an angry God. And that anger is holy. Our anger may be unholy. That's holy. It's right. It's righteous. But his for them is a word of love. And I think we can illustrate it, as I've just said, about the shepherd. That sheep's lost. It's wandering far away. It doesn't know it's really lost. It thinks it can care for itself. It thinks it'll all be all right. Doesn't know about the robber. Doesn't know about the poison on the ground that it might be eating. Doesn't know about the trap. Doesn't know about this and that. Until it gets frightened. It gets scared. And then it finds it hasn't any strength. It can't save itself. It can't protect itself. It needs somebody to save him. And he hears a voice. It's a good shepherd. That good shepherd knows where that sheep is. He hears that bleating. He hears that sheep is in distress. That sheep is crying. Wants a shepherd to love him. Wash away his sins. Take care of him. This is the gospel. I'm trying to speak it as simply as the Lord helps me to, and yet keeping faithfully to the truth. He's for them. And he knows his sheep. And they will after a while know him. They'll recognize that voice. It's Jesus. It's Jesus is speaking to me. It's Jesus telling me that he loves me. Oh, I want to love him. Oh, to know that he loves me. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. The saved sheep knows the shepherd, knows his voice, that no one speaks like the shepherd does. You may have read in one of the young people's magazines, I think it was, I can't remember, it doesn't matter about that. There's a market, about 400 sheep, lambs there. And there was a great consternation at the end of the day. A car drew up hurriedly, and a father and a girl, I don't know what age, I don't think she was all that old, I should imagine probably about 10 or 12, got out, rushed out of the car in great concern, and her lamb, her pet lamb, had been taken away by mistake. It was in the market. She wanted it back. But they couldn't do a thing. The sheep weren't marked. But the little girl said, could you lift me and put me on that wall? Of course they did that. And she called. And she called the name of her pet lamb. And they watched. And they could see in the distance one little lamb struggling to get through all the lambs to get to that little girl. It was her lamb. Just like the coming little lamb to Jesus. And that might be an old person too, couldn't it? Coming to Jesus. Oh, my dear friend, how precious it is. I will hiss for them. And this word hiss means the gospel. I've just said one, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take another word. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Another word, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him or her that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, though they be so sinful, so wicked, so dreadful, because my grace has called them, I love them, an everlasting love, but I'm not touching the deeper points, I'm keeping the simplicity as much as I can. My dear friend, you've heard your dear pastor preach many sermons. You've heard ministers preach many sermons. You've heard your teachers speak to you. And I hope you hear your father and mother speak to you about Jesus too. I hope they do. And not just enough to know about Jesus. It's good to know and learn about Jesus. But you want to know Jesus. You want to know him as your friend. That you can go to him and tell him all your troubles, all your sins. And ask him to help you. And be with you. And not only that, that he will help you, that you might not sin so much, that those things that you love of the world, that you might say, Lord, I can't do that now, because that's naughty, it's wrong, I mustn't do it. And because you love Jesus, you say, no, I can't do that, I must love Jesus, then away, I'll throw that away. That bad book, I wouldn't be happy if Jesus saw me reading it, then I'd burn it. Those things that are wrong. No, I know. You may say, but it's ever so hard for a little boy and a girl in school. These children, they swear. They do all sorts of things. They bully. They perhaps have drugs and all the rest of it. It's hard to stand alone, isn't it? Ask Jesus to help you. Ask Jesus to make you strong and brave. And if you even should suffer because you do right, ask Jesus to help you and think of that. It's not a mark against you, dear child. It's not a mark against you. You think of God's children, how they suffer because they love Jesus. Jesus will help you. Jesus will comfort you. Jesus won't forget you. And so here we read, I will hiss with them and gather them, as we're speaking of, gather them one by one. It's personal. You see, it's almost, but it isn't, I know, but it's almost as though you were the only lost sheep on the face of the earth, because it's so personal. It must be personal. You know your dad and mum, perhaps, and you may have a good hope that they love Jesus and that they're saved by Jesus. They love you, and you love them. I know you do. At least I hope you do. I know some do. But with all the love that they have and all the love that you have, they cannot save you from sin. They try and show you not to do things, that's right, but they can't remove those stains of sin. They're like deep stains. I'm just remembering an illustration, I think, of the dicker. There's a boy who's so naughty. And his father and mother, his father said, oh, no, every time you do something really naughty, there's a board, wooden board, I'm going to put a nail in that. That means he's done something naughty. And very soon there are quite a lot of nails. The boy got sad. Got concerned. And told his father. His father said, well, no, perhaps we can help you. If you are really sorry, and do good, and try and do your best, we'll take a nail out. Well, eventually, one by one, those nails came out. Now, don't mistake that. By doing good doesn't mean that we can get our sin forgiven, but it's the right path. But I'll tell you something. What do you know that boy said? Those nails have all been removed, but there's marks still where they've been. Marks where they've been. The nail hole. So you see, there it is. We need our sin not only to be removed, but cleansed. And the blood of Christ, I know it sounds so hard for the children to understand, that Jesus shed his blood, and that blood in the sight of a holy God will wash away all sin of all his dear people that come to him and look to him and hope in him. And they're gathered one by one and drawn to the Saviour of sinners. Oh, my dear friend, I do hope you love Jesus. Now, don't say you love him unless you really do. But then you say, but I don't think I'm right to say I love him because I'm so naughty, I'm so sinful. Yes, that may well be, but you may be struggling. You may long to love Jesus. In your heart you do love him, but you still sin. Well, we all do that. Ministers do that. But may you be helped to look to Jesus and come to Jesus and ask him to wash away your sin. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow, because that sin, that blood, washes away all sin of that dear coming one to Jesus, that one that Jesus is calling effectually, powerfully, personally to come. And my friend, young friend and old, you come just as you are, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am. Oh, that precious blood, I've just gone from me for the moment, just as I am, and with no other plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me, tells me to come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. War years, coming home, before going abroad, and there was an open air service at Trafalgar Square. I couldn't stop, but I heard those verses sung, just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. He came. There I couldn't stop. There was war-torn London. There was a nation in terrible danger. There was going abroad, not knowing where. But oh, my friend, and it was just that voice. It was God speaking to my soul. Oh, I should never forget it. Sacred moment. May you, dear children, you know it's not going to be an easy life. But to have Jesus with you, to pray to Jesus, you know that I haven't got a wife now, she's in heaven. But Jesus takes care of me. I talk to Jesus. Sometimes I'm very sad. Sometimes very lonely. But Jesus takes care of me. Jesus will hear you pray. His little children. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them. Don't stop them. Let them come. But little children don't want to go to Jesus unless Jesus draws them. So you need to ask Jesus to draw you and make you long to come to him, and that you may meet him, and that he may put his hand, not literal hand, but may bless you and save you from all your sin and lead you to glory at last. My dear young friends, there was a little girl, well, I've named it before, but perhaps I've done it here, I can't tell you, I can't remember now. But there's a minister. He was called to call out to a house, a poor house, I think it was, because a little girl, a young girl, was in bed and very ill. He didn't know her. Never had seen her. So he said, why do you call her? I don't know you, my dear. He was very kind to her, though he didn't know her. Do you know what she told him? She said, I kept coming to your chapel. I hid. Nobody could see me. And when I was listening, God showed me I'm a lost sinner. It made me afraid. It made me feel sad. I felt I would go to hell. But as I listened later, you spoke of one called Jesus. And that Jesus has loved me and saved me. And she said, I believe it's well with me. Well, the minister visited once or twice, but she was a dying woman, dying young woman. And she said, don't pray for me to get better, I shan't get better. That I'm not afraid to die. This was the last visit. And she said to her dear minister, she said, I'm not afraid to die. She said, it's all else is gone. But she said, it's all praises. All praises from her heart to Jesus that loved her and saved her and called her. This is the way. This is the work of heaven for a poor lost sinner. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them. Now you are bought with a price. You are his. You belong to Jesus then. Now this is a big responsibility, isn't it? Who is sufficient? Who can do it? No, we can't of ourselves. We can ask Jesus to help us. Help us to love him. And to serve him, and to be like him. You little ones are growing. When I was a little boy, I remember standing by a wall down a basement there, and mother put a rule on my head and put my height. And about 6 months later, I stand again, and of course, I've grown a little higher, growing. So, we older people, I know we don't keep growing literally, but we do need to grow to know more and more about Jesus. And I haven't tried to enlarge this last part, but I'll just try and put it as briefly. I ask my older friends to bear very patiently with me tonight. I've no thought whatsoever, God is my witness, to speak in the way I've done tonight. But these little children weigh heavily upon my spirit. And I believe I preach the truth to them. And I believe it is the truth. It may be in simplicity. And like some dear people do say to me, the old sheep will have a good feast upon that tender grass with the little lambs. We eat the same food. Of course we do. So I do hope you're not starved. So I continue my thoughts for a few moments and we must stop, mustn't we? Love, that might increase. Jesus loves me with an unfailing love. I want to love him more and more and more. I know that I'm a sinner. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be kind. I want to be loving. I don't want to be naughty. I don't want to get my revenge. I leave that to God. I want to pray that those that hurt me and be unkind would be forgiven. And more still, what? I love Jesus and I've done something naughty. And it's not just to think you've done it yourself, that is the main thing. But people say, but I thought you loved Jesus and you've done that. Just like Peter this afternoon that we're talking about. But there is forgiveness. Oh dear. I don't know where to stop really or start. When I was at school, I was happy. It was a small private school. And the headmaster was a colonel, old colonel, very strict disciplinary, but very fair. But why I did it, I do not know, but I did something dreadful. I played truant for two different days and told lies. Said we got a holiday. The phone rang and that was the headmaster, where's your boy? As Mother Tony said, send him back to me. I went back. And I remember now, walking through the garden, and there was the headmaster standing there. He just came up to me. The school was called Rose Hill. He said, Rose Hillians, do not do things like that. That's all he said. You said, well, there's nothing to worry about. You didn't get the stripe, you didn't get cane, you didn't get lines, you weren't expelled. It hurt. Because I brought disgrace on the school. And it hurts one that loves Jesus if we do something wrong. It hurts us. Because Jesus has done nothing else but love us and do everything for us. And then look, we're going to do something like that. But that's what we call repentance. When we're truly sorry for us, it's just like Peter. He wept and he cried because he had failed, didn't he? I read it this afternoon. There is forgiveness. So may we pray to know more of him, grow like him, be stronger in faith, trust him at all times. This is increasing. And pray that the Lord may bless us with that health, spiritual health. And just as you may say, well, there's much I don't understand in the ministry, but there's some things I do. And I'd listen now, I hope, that I can listen, and sometimes it may be just like an ear of corn, just one ear of corn, just a little word or two, and it's sweet. That's right at the beginning of God speaking to you. And then a little later there's a handful. You've been waiting and watching and hearing a little more, and the Lord leads on later to a full blessing of the four. A measure, it was 6 measures of barley, was it? As much as you carry. Teaching step by step, here a little, there a little. It's wonderful. One grain of corn, but it's real. Then a handful. And then as much as you could carry. But I see the time has gone. It's to grow in grace. Now to grow in grace and to grow like Jesus means that we've got to go smaller. But you say, I grow bigger. Yes, you do grow bigger in your build, and that's right, and thank God for it. But you're not to be proud. You're not to go and say, look what a fine Christian I am. Look what I do. No, it's better for you to go and tell people what Jesus has done for you and saved you. And what he means to you, that he's precious to you, that he's your friend. They may despise you, they may hate you for it. But may God help you. Help you to speak of him and not be ashamed of him. Oh, I must stop there. I feel a little perplexed. I can only pray that God will bless these rambling, few little simple thoughts tonight and pardon anything amiss that I've said. And I do hope and pray that you, dear saints, have been starved tonight. I know for myself, I get some of the sweetest times when I hear ministers or when something times when I speak to children of speaking of the simplicity of the gospel, the sincere milk of the word. And you know, old people often need milk, particularly in old age. Old people go back. What do they go back to? Psalm 23. They love it. It's theirs. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to ask you one question. Is he yours?